This is a story about my mother. When my mother was 14 years old, she went to her home village with my grandparents, and one of her cousins also went with them. The village was lovely. The people of the village were peace lovers. They were much enjoying their visit, being surrounded by the beautiful nature in and around the village. But then, something happened one day while my mom and her cousin, my aunt, were walking and gossiping while eating some corn they bought from a shop. Suddenly, they noticed that their packet of corn was almost empty, even though they bought it just a few minutes earlier. Then, out of nowhere, they noticed my aunt's friend was beside them eating the corn. But she wasn't with them when they were walking or when they bought the corn. She appeared like a bolt from the blue. But without giving it much thought, they started gossiping with her. It was almost dark, though, and they had to hurry to reach home. But my aunt's friend's home was very close by and on the same road that they were walking on. So they said goodbye to her, but she told them that there is a shortcut to reach my mom's house and that she will take them to the house using the shortcut if they want to. My mom and aunt didn't want to, but the friend started insisting that they go with her. Then she showed the shortcut to them. It was a short, bushy path in the jungle surrounded by big trees. It looked kind of scary as it was already dark. So my mom and aunt said no to her, but she started insisting again. Even though they didn't want to go, they felt pressured to go because of her. They were confused and started walking along the shortcut. They were walking so fast that they could get home sooner, but while they were on the path, a strong wind started blowing and it started to rain and then thunder. They were very scared. Then, at that same moment, my aunt's friend just disappeared. They were terrified and started running straight ahead. While running, my mom briefly saw a lady in a white dress with a big, creepy smile running towards them. My mom was so scared that she froze in place. My aunt then grabbed my mom's hand and started running as fast as she could. After running for about 2 minutes, they finally exited the jungle and were near the house. They went into their house and were breathing so heavily that my grandparents asked them what happened. Then they explained everything. They couldn't sleep a wink that night, and they were very angry at that friend of my aunt's. The next morning, they went to that girl's house and asked why she left them, not even showing them the way on that stormy night. But then the girl said that she didn't even go outside the previous day and had no idea what they were talking about. The girl's mother was working beside them and listened to the story. She said that her daughter was helping her in the kitchen that day and didn't go outside. My mom and aunt were shocked and looked at each other and asked, "Then who or what was that girl?"
This incident occurred when I was just 9 years old, and it's never left my mind since. I grew up in a small, quiet town surrounded by woods. Everybody knew everybody. Nothing bad ever happened there, and life was good. You get the picture? Well, just outside of town was an old, run-down cabin sitting atop a hill. A cabin which the kids called Dead Man's Cabin. It was called this because, even though it hadn't been lived in for decades, you could sometimes see smoke rising from its chimney in the distance. Police officers used to go up there, expecting to find squatters, but every time they went inside, the place would be completely empty and the fireplace would show no signs that it had been used. Eventually, the police just stopped going there and accepted the cabin as an unexplainable phenomenon. People got it in their heads that a ghost was living there and the name just stuck. Dead Man's Cabin also happened to be a 20-minute walk away from my house. Although it was obscured by trees, it could still be partially seen from my bedroom window. And since I lived closest to the cabin, my friends would always ask me about it whenever they came over to spend the night. They'd ask if I could actually see the ghost through the window, or if I'd ever gone over there. I'd always say no and change the subject. But on one particular night, my friends and I decided to be a bit more daring. We were having another one of our usual sleepovers. It was me and my two best friends, Mary and Diane, and we started talking about the cabin. I can't remember the specifics of our conversation, but I do remember that our talk somehow turned to a game of truth or dare. Diane dared me to spend 5 minutes inside the cabin. And me, being the brave yet foolhardy kid that I was, accepted the challenge, but only on the condition that my friends joined me. Mary and Diane were visibly shaken by this, but since they didn't want to look like a bunch of scaredy cats, they agreed as well. Living in a boring town like ours meant we had to look for adventure wherever we could, and a haunted cabin seemed like a nice change of pace. We were the type of kids who did whatever we wanted, no matter how dangerous it was, and getting the chance to meet a real-life ghost was too exciting for me to pass up. We snuck out one at a time through my bedroom window and headed straight for the woods, dressed only in our pajamas and bare feet. We had to leave our shoes and jackets behind so my parents wouldn't catch on to the fact that we'd left the house. Needless to say, we were all heavily underdressed for a hike, but that didn't matter to us at the time. Getting caught by my parents and possibly grounded for life was much worse than being out in the cold. Plus, we all had something to prove and we didn't want to back out of the challenge. Stupid, I know, but that's how we rationalized it. Anyway, we pushed our way through low-hanging branches and stayed as close to each other as possible. The constant chirping of crickets filled the air as twigs and leaves crunched under our bare feet. The scenery was admittedly creepy at night, and Mary kept looking over her shoulder every few seconds. But we all kept moving forward, determined to prove our bravery. When we finally reached the cabin, we walked up onto the porch and tried peeking in through the windows to see if anyone was home. All we saw was darkness, so we took that as a sign that it was safe to enter. Without hesitation, I reached for the knob and turned it before pushing the door open. The three of us were then greeted by a warm fire crackling in the fireplace. Red flag number one. There definitely wasn't a fire going when we were looking through the windows a second ago, but now the whole cabin was well lit. We should have turned back right then and there, but since we'd been walking barefoot for over a mile in 30-degree weather, we were all too eager to warm up by the fire. We sat on the floor, huddled together with our hands and feet out when the front door suddenly slammed shut behind us. We all jumped and turned our heads to the door but saw nothing suspicious.
It must have been the wind, Mary said in a shaky tone.
As if things weren't creepy enough, we also heard the shuffling of footsteps from the next room over and decided to investigate. Our curiosity was more powerful than our will to survive, I guess. Diane led the way while Mary and I followed behind. We went down a long hallway filled with cobwebs and squeaky floorboards that creaked with every step we took. Looking down, I realized that some of the floorboards weren't nailed down and were just sitting there loosely. Curious, I reached down and picked up one of the boards, leaving a dark rectangular hole in its place. Strange, I thought. Why would some of the floorboards be removable? Before I could ponder any further, a long pale arm with a clawed hand reached out of the hole and grabbed my ankle. I let out a horrified scream as my foot was suddenly dragged down into the hole, along with my entire leg. My friends immediately rushed over and tried pulling me out, but whatever held me down wasn't going to let go without a fight. My fear only worsened as I felt multiple sets of teeth begin to bite down on my exposed leg as if it were a piece of meat. I squealed at the top of my lungs as I struggled violently to escape. A jolt of pain shot up my leg as the teeth clamped down harder and harder. I kicked as hard as I could until I felt my foot connected with someone's jaw. That seemed to do the trick as the culprit let go of my ankle, allowing me to pull my foot out. My leg was riddled with teeth marks, but thanks to my flailing around, those teeth didn't break the skin. The three of us then quickly scrambled to our feet, but instead of running out the door, we peered down into the hole out of morbid curiosity. We all froze in sheer terror when we saw several pale faces looking back at us. They were people. People living under the floorboards. We saw men, women, even a few children among them. They were all pale and skinny, with red eyes and mouths filled with sharp teeth. They smiled up at us before hungrily licking their lips, making their intentions all too clear. Before we could do anything, several hands shot up from the floor and grabbed our ankles, pulling our feet out from under us and making us hit the hard floor. We all screamed and started flailing our limbs in every direction. We tried swatting the hands away and kicking at the ghoulish figures as they climbed over each other, attempting to bite us. Mary screamed as a pale-faced woman grabbed her bare foot and brought it up to her mouth, but Diane quickly bashed it over the head with a loose floorboard. I picked up a board as well and started swinging it like crazy, hurting a few of the creature's arms and freeing myself. Diane managed to pull Mary away and we all bolted for the front door, hopping over the hands as they continued to reach for us. The front door, thankfully, wasn't locked, so after swinging it open, we hightailed it out of there. As we ran through the woods, none of us looked back to see if we were being chased. Fortunately, it didn't take us long to get back to my house, and the bedroom window was still open. We all climbed in one after the other, and I quickly shut the window behind us before locking it. I honestly can't tell you how we managed to get out of that place alive, or why those things even attacked us. Lots of people went up to that cabin before us, and they never mentioned being attacked. Not once. So what made us so special? I can only guess that due to their skeletal bodies, they were too weak to subdue adult travelers and passers-by. But when they saw three little girls in pajamas waltz into their home, they figured we'd make an easier meal. I'm glad we proved them wrong. We never told our parents what happened that night, and I moved away a year later. I don't know if that cabin was ever torn down, but I certainly hope no one ever had to go through what we did.
This is a terrible story that happened to me when I met my friend Cody. He always loved ice cream, and when he didn't have it, he would go wild and go crazy to the point where he had to take tranquilizers. So he was severely obese. One day, when I told him to stop eating ice cream, he looked sad and said,
"I tried hundreds of times to stop eating, but every time I tried, I turned into a monster."
I got playful and took his ice cream away. Then he took out a knife from his pocket and glared at me, his body shaking. I was surprised and gave him back the ice cream, and he licked it up like a hungry dog. From that day on, I never took ice cream from him again. Then one day, while eating ice cream, he suddenly got angry and shouted,
"I'm getting sick of ice cream now! It tastes the same every day!
Do you know why I eat ice cream? In fact, the thought of wanting to kill people pops into my head about once every 5 minutes, so I eat ice cream to suppress that craving. Human patience is very weak. If 10 minutes pass without eating ice cream, my head will be filled with only one thought. Murder. Let me ask you one favor. Get me a better ice cream than this. Or the best pizza, or a hamburger, whatever, it doesn't matter. Don't let the devil inside me wake up."
He was in pain and was tearing out his hair. I was shocked, so the next day I found a really good ice cream place and brought him some ice cream from there. He tasted the ice cream and was very happy, saying it was delicious. He regained his sense of stability, but that was by no means the end. One day, I asked him if he really wanted to commit murder, and he answered,
"Yes, since birth, always. My mom said that when I was crying as a baby, she would put a knife in my hand, then I would smile brightly. And when I was 5 years old, a cruel scene happened to come on TV, and I clapped while watching it. And when I was 7, she brought me a hamster, and I asked her when I could kill the hamster. And I told her I wanted to kill it quickly. So she sent me to a mental hospital, but I couldn't get better even after taking medicine. So from then on, I started eating ice cream. When I eat ice cream, I feel more generous, even if only for a moment."
I was shocked to hear what he said, but then he said something even more shocking to me.
"The day I get tired of this ice cream, I will kill you. I can't find any more delicious ice cream anymore."
He said that and continued to eat the ice cream with a slight smile on his face, and my legs gave out in fear. From then on, I started avoiding him. Then one day, he sent me a text message.
"I'm getting tired of the taste of this ice cream, and the devil inside me is gradually awakening."
After reading the text, I wondered if I should report it to the police, but I didn't hear from him for a while after that day. Then one day, someone knocked on the door at my house, and I looked out the window and saw it was him. There was blood on his hands, and he looked so happy. He was pacing around and screaming while holding an ice cream in one hand and pounding on my door with the other hand. He shouted,
"Richard! I just killed someone! I feel so good! The world is so beautiful! My mom lied to me. She always said murder was wrong, but it's so good. I regret eating only ice cream for so long. Now I finally realize ice cream can never make me happy. The only thing that can give me happiness is murder."
He threw the ice cream down and started kicking my front door. I quickly called the police and the door shook as if it would break. The police arrived a short time later and arrested him. It turned out that he had murdered a neighbor right before coming to my house. I was in complete shock. From that day on, just looking at ice cream makes my legs feel weak. Even now, I vividly recall the look on his face when he told me he had committed murder. That expression was that of a really, truly happy person. Have you ever gone to a park at night? My name is Sebastian, and one time when I was about 7 years old, I decided to go to the park at night around 8 p.m. I was at my cousin Anna's house, and I was planning on staying the night. And we soon got bored, so we asked my aunt if she could take us to the park. My aunt agreed, and she told us that we were going to take my cousin's dog, a brown poodle named Coco. So we put on Coco's harness and grabbed his leash, and we left. My aunt offered to buy us some snacks at the liquor store near their house. We both said yes, and so we grabbed some chips and some juice there and then carried on with our walk to the park. We reached the park, and my cousin and I went running to the field, and first we went and played on the exercise machines. My aunt sat down and left Coco with us, and we were running around and chasing him on the grass field, and then he was chasing us. But while we were playing with Coco, we noticed a strange, bald, middle-aged man that was walking in a circle talking on the phone. We could clearly see he was acting off, and he noticed that we were looking at him and gave us a weird, creepy grin. There was also an old-looking small gray car, which a woman that seemed to be in her late 20s or early 30s stepped out of not long after. Soon after that, the man and the woman got into the car together, and then they came out holding a backpack and duffel bag. We were not sure what was going on, and we just ignored it because I was around 7 years old and Anna was 10 or 11. So we just continued playing and we decided to go to the playground, which was the worst decision we made that night. Anna was going down the slide and I was on the monkey bars, and then we were taking turns on the big twisty slide. We were about 10 rounds in of playing on the slide when my aunt had fallen asleep on the bench and Coco was sitting down nearby. Soon after that, I got tired and told Anna that I was tired and was gonna sit down and eat my snacks and pet Coco for a minute and asked if she wanted to come so we could go home soon. She said no, so I went by myself. As I was sitting down, I saw Anna playing on the slides and I also noticed that the woman from the car appeared right behind Anna, but she didn't notice. I immediately woke up my aunt and told her what was going on and she called Anna over. And then she saw the woman, and we also saw the man hiding under the slide, like he was waiting for Anna to come down. Anna made it over to us, and we were both scared, so we grabbed our snacks, and my aunt grabbed Coco, and we left. And surely enough, those people were following us, so we had to take a different path home so we would lose them. As soon as we got home, we called my mom, because my aunt can't speak English. And when we told my mom what happened, she immediately called the police. And the police told us something very frightening. There was a wanted duo of human traffickers that drove a small gray car. And the people they described were a perfect match for the man and woman we saw. My cousin and I were terrified, and my mom came to pick us up so we could stay at my house in case those people came looking for us. Now, I don't know what those people were planning to do or what was in that backpack and duffel bag, but I did learn a very valuable lesson from my mom after that. I learned that I always need to be aware of my surroundings and the people near me. To this day, I still think about what could have happened if I did not get tired and decided to stay at the slide playing with Anna. I'm 12 years old now, and I still enjoy walking to the park with my own dog, Charlie, a Jack Russell Terrier. Even though this experience when I was 7 really shocked me, I am thankful that nothing bad happened, and I also learned a valuable lesson. I don't go to the park at night anymore, but if I do, I make sure that I'm with an adult who is awake and active.
My name is Sakina. I'm 27 years old now. This happened about 3 years ago in the house my husband and I used to live in. We were watching a TV show in the living room. All of our kids were asleep since it was 10 o'clock at night. I had a baby monitor next to me, so I could make sure my daughter didn't wake up and leave her room. The baby camera was in the hallway facing my daughter's room. We had a baby gate on the door as well. She was 2 years old at that time. Anyway, my husband and I were watching TV, and I looked at the baby monitor and saw a little girl peeking over the gate, looking at the camera. I got up and went to check on my daughter. I didn't see her at the gate, so I went and looked in her room. She was sound asleep. It only took me a few seconds to get back from the living room to her bedroom, so I knew she didn't just lie down and fall back asleep. I went back to the living room and continued watching the show with my husband. I looked at the monitor again and saw a little girl with long curly hair run by the camera. I got up again and hurried to my daughter's room. She was still sound asleep. My daughter didn't have long curly hair, and neither did anyone else in the house. I went and told my husband, and he didn't know what to say. We watched the show for a little longer before my husband had to use the restroom. I went to make popcorn while he was in the restroom. I looked in the hallway and saw my daughter's stroller had moved backwards from where it was. I went to check it, and the wheels were locked. I thought my husband was playing a prank, so I put the stroller back. I made the popcorn and went back to the living room. My husband came out of the bathroom and went to get a drink from the kitchen. When he came back, he asked me why the stroller was moved. I told him I put it back after he moved it. He looked at me confused and said, "I didn't touch it." So I got up and looked down the hallway. The stroller was moved back. I looked at him and said, "That's very funny." I then put the stroller back. My husband and I then finished our show, and we were ready to head to bed. We both got up and were heading to the kitchen when we saw the stroller was moved once again. No one was awake to move it, and my husband and I were in the living room the whole time. My cats were in the living room with us, sleeping on the couch. They have been there since we started the show, so we knew it wasn't them. Our dog was in the kennel, sleeping in the living room as well. I went to try and move the stroller, but there was no way an animal could move it due to the wheels being locked, and my daughter couldn't move it even if she wanted to. We would be able to hear if one of the other kids came downstairs, so we knew it wasn't them. We didn't know who moved it, and I didn't know who the little girl I saw was. This isn't the only time we noticed weird things happening in the house, but those stories are for another day. I just hope the new family that is living in the house hasn't experienced anything like we did. This happened possibly 5 or 6 years ago. It happened at night. Our house isn't very big. We have 2 bedrooms, a living room and a kitchen, all on the same floor. However, we also have a really wide area that we refer to as our left yard because it's on the left side of our house, rather than the back. Animals are something my dad loved, so he kept some in our left yard and fed them there every night before he went to bed. One night, we made the decision to help our father feed the pigs and chickens because neither me nor my sister were tired at the time. Our left yard has 2 lights, but I still brought my phone in case we needed a flashlight. To give you an image of our left yard, it is just a really wide area. The ground was dirt. There was a tree in the middle of it, and a homemade shelter for our hens was at the leftish back corner of the area, far from our house. I'm not sure how to describe the shelter, but the closest thing that is similar to it is jail bars really close together, meaning you can still see inside the shelter. Anyway, as we were tending to the pigs, my father asked us to go back inside our house and get a bucket of water, which is what we did. We then returned to the left yard. When we got back, my dad was nowhere to be seen. But when my gaze landed on the homemade shelter, I spotted him in there, between the gaps in the bamboo, fixing something. I smiled and took my sister's hand as we headed to the shelter. Halfway to the shelter, I stopped, and I held up my arm to stop my sister from walking further. Even now, I'm not sure what stopped me. It was almost like a gut feeling that I chose to trust. I told myself something was wrong. Everything wasn't right. I came to a complete stop and continued to stare at the shelter while I watched my father's movements. Without looking away from my father, I grabbed a metal pole that was lying directly in front of me. Of course, being the older sister, I have to be brave in these types of situations. I moved quietly towards the shelter while holding my sister's hand. But as we got close, my father called, "Max! Ellie! What are you doing there?" I froze. "What the hell?" I looked back and saw my father looking confused at the other side of the yard, which caused my eyes to widen and my heart to drop. Who the hell was inside the shelter if he was over there? I thought I was the only one who had seen whatever it was. But when I looked at my sister, I noticed she had the same terrified and confused look. When I turned to face the shelter again, nobody. Nobody was there. My sister and I ran as quickly as we could and spent the entire night next to our father. We kept it to ourselves and decided not to talk about it. Though, questions began to rise in my head. What would have happened if I hadn't trusted my instincts? What if my father hadn't called at that moment? What was inside the shelter that decided to take the form of my father? What if I hadn't stopped my sister and me from going there? I continued to wonder, until now, what caused me to suddenly stop and behave as though my father was someone else, or something else. Even though I still don't know what got to me that night, I'm glad I went with my gut feeling, because who knows what may have happened if I hadn't. I guess the lesson is to always trust your gut feeling. I don't know.